All right, thank you for that. And that little toe tapper there is a song called Free at Last. And it's by our guest, Don Felder, the iconic rock guitarist, musician, and songwriter. He has a new album entitled The Vault, 50 Years of Music, releasing on May 23rd from Frontiers Music. Don, welcome back to the show. And you never hung the guitar up. It's just, is that just something that's in your DNA? You just got to play like your whole life, right?
Yeah, you know, I got hooked on it when I first started at 10 years old, and it's probably the best addiction I've ever had, to tell you the truth. I just love it.
So, obviously, we know you mostly from your time with the Eagles and coming in 75 and all the iconic. I mean, I'm in my 50s. I grew up, I think Hotel California was one of my first albums I ever had. And when I think of you, I think of you with the double neck guitar, like you and Jimmy Page, you were the two guys. What was that like with the double neck?
Well, it's really like having two guitars that have been sawed off and glued together. I couldn't figure out how in the world I was going to be able to play the introduction, the acoustic 12-string part, and then flip a switch and play all those electric solos and harmonies and all that other stuff. So I sent a roadie out to get a double neck, and when he came back, it only had one output. So I rewired it so that the 12-string neck, which starts the song off, goes out of one output into a Leslie, and it gets mic'd. Then I flip a switch, it goes down into a different neck, a 6-string neck, and goes out of another output to a hard soloing rock and roll amp. So it's really two guitars and two amp setups that are just glued together into one.
I remember when I tried a little garage band 1981, and I got an Ibanez Tube Screamer and plugged my guitar into that, and then you just kick that on, and it made me sound talented. It's funny what you can do with equipment, huh?
Well, you know what there was before there was Pro Tools?
Very good.
They could sing and play and write. No, it's not the pedal. It's like they say, you know, it ain't the arrow, it's the Indian that makes the sounds and the music, you know what I mean?
And how about the slide guitar? I mean, that kind of got you your start with the Eagles, right?
Yeah, it's really funny you mentioned that, because on the beginning of Free at Last, I play slide on it. But I was doing another interview yesterday with a guy in Germany, and he said, how do you make those seagull sounds? I went, seagull sounds? What are you talking about? He says, yeah, in the beginning of Free at Last, you have seagulls. I went, no, those are slides that have a little echo on them. So I was originally brought in to play slide guitar with the Eagles on a song called Good Day in Hell. It was probably the longest Good Day in Hell I've ever spent being in that band for 27 years.
And then also, there's so many times on albums you'll look to see who was maybe a studio or a session musician, and you worked with Diana Ross, Barbara Streisand, but I wanted to ask you about the Brothers Gibb. What about the Bee Gees?
I love working with them. I have to say, I thought Barry Gibb was one of the most talented producers as well as singers as I've ever worked with. They had the most unique production technique. The first time I walked into a recording studio, they had this giant 24-track tape loop running across the entire width of the control room. I said, what are you doing? They said, this is our first tape loop. And so they were recording Steve Gadd playing drums in a loop. And it was probably the track that wound up on Saturday Night Fever that was just the four on the floor kick drum, and it was just phenomenal. So they had some really interesting modern techniques approach that really just didn't exist for any other album at the time. And Barry Gibb, I saw him go out and sing unison lead vocals in that high falsetto. He would do seven tracks in perfect unison, melodically, and the vibratos would all be in sync together too. It was a miracle. It didn't sound like seven people singing. It sounded like one guy just really thick and warm. It was amazing working with him. I love those guys.
It's interesting you say that because I remember hearing an interview with Justin Timberlake, of all people, and he said when in Staying Alive, when they went, Staying Alive, he says that should be a horn. That should not be guys. And then he says, but it sounds way better when they did it. And I thought, oh, yeah, I never thought of that. I guess maybe that should have been horns.
Barry was the only guitar player and singer and producer I knew that just played one finger. He tuned the guitar to be one major chord, and he would just move his finger up and down the fretboard to be able to play it. Instead of making chords different with his fingers, he was a one-finger guitarist, but he wrote some amazing things with that technique, you know, things you wouldn't normally do. He came up with just brilliant. Oh, I love the Gibbses.
Speaking with Don Felder, new album The Vault, 50 Years of Music, coming out on May 23rd. Now, of course, all good things must come to an end, and all bands break up, and unfortunately, you know, publicly, it was a bit messy, and there were lawyers involved, and, you know, Glenn and Don, you guys had your differences. So when you're doing the Eagles music now and some of the things, is it bittersweet, or what's it like now? Because, I mean, you guys were together for decades.
Yeah, I was in that band for 27 years. You know, I think all things happen in life, both good and bad, for a reason. The fluke effect that I had being around those guys and then just being invited in to play slide guitar and getting a call from Glenn the next day to join the band, was just something that happened out of thin air. And we went on to write some amazing things together, and whatever caused the ultimate split up was really probably the perfect time. It was time for them to move on with new records and new attitudes and new band members as they have now. And it was time for me to step out of the Eagles and start a solo career. So things happen at the right time for the right reason. And I don't hold any regrets or grudges or anything like that. It's just not worth the wasting my time to do that, you know?
Yeah, you can't change the past, obviously. Well said. Correct me if I'm wrong. My Fast Times at Ridgemont High soundtrack, there's a Don Felder song on there.
Yeah, there is. Which one is it? I forgot.
It's, what was it, Airborne? No, Never Surrender.
That's right. I think that song, Kenny Loggins and I wrote together for that movie. I've known Kenny since the 70s, and I got a call, an invite to write a song for that movie, and I thought, well, I'm going to call Kenny and see what he's doing. Maybe we can write something together. And we did. We sat down and wound up writing that. He sang harmony on it with me. So it turned out to be a fun venture with Kenny. Great guy, great singer. Known him and respected him for many, many years.
You know, I think about the way music was, and, you know, as a kid in the 70s, obviously I would get the album, and then I'd sit in a beanbag chair and put on some big old headphones, and hopefully there'd be liner notes. You could read the lyrics, or, you know, depending on if it was like Boston or Journey, they'd have these crazy album covers you would look at. And now, Spotify, Apple Music, you don't, you know, instead of putting out a 45, you can just put out a song. What's that like to see the music industry completely change like that?
Well, I think it's healthy. I think you have to move with the technological times, and we've gone from printed vinyl and cassettes and ADAT and 8-track to modern technology where you don't need to actually print something like that in order to have it. You can just go online and download it, or you can go online and listen to it on Spotify. I think the one thing that I disagree with is that I actually went to Washington, D.C. as a representative from ASCAP to try to talk to the people there that make the laws to make it an equal responsibility, whether you're a radio station playing a track, playing a piece of music, and radio stations, they have to pay a certain percentage or a certain number of pennies per airplay, versus Spotify and Pandora and those companies, they can pay 1/100th of what radios are forced to pay. And radios have overhead. They have licenses they have to renew. They have employees. And Spotify doesn't have anything like that. So to me, what happens is somebody's work, whether it's writers or publishers, they make a living doing that. And so I went there to campaign for the writers that are have just had their royalty slashed by one one-hundredth of what they have been making, so they could hopefully make an adjustment and put some food on the table for their family. And it was amazing how much of a stone wall we got when we went in to talk with these people, because those companies, I believe, Spotify and stuff, are very heavy contributors to a lot of the politicians there in Washington. So very little was changing that way at all. So I tried.
No, it all, I agree with you. It all makes sense. We just have about a minute left. Tell us about the vault, because I know that you brought in a lot of your friends, a lot of heavy hitters here.
I did. You know, everybody on this record I've known for decades, to tell you the truth, and I know how they play. If I have four or five different drummers, I know their pocket. I know the feel. I know that Todd Sukkerman has this really strong hand and plays really hard. That's why I put him on I Like the Things You Do. And Jim Keltner, who is like a 70s legend drummer, has this beautiful, laid-back, comfortable pocket. I put him on Let Me Down Easy. So it's like casting characters that you know and how they play. And like Steve Lukather, he comes in, and we spend 45 minutes just laughing and telling jokes and recounting some old dumb stories from the 70s that we did when we were idiots. And then we finally sit down for 30 minutes and play guitar, and it's done. You know, it's not a hard labor of love, but it just is a wonderful thing to have a bunch of good friends that are extremely talented, that are willing to step up and help me on a project. And I really appreciate every one of them doing that.
It's great stuff. The album The Vault, 50 Years of Music, will release via Frontiers Music on May 23rd. But the single we heard on the way in, Free at Last, and the video is available right now from our guest, the legendary Don Felder. Don, congratulations, and let's catch up down the road.
Please, come out to any show you want, and as my guest, we'll give you a couple of tickets, come backstage. Say hello, let me shake your hand, and thank you for doing this for me. I appreciate it.
All right, I'll see you backstage, Don.
All right, see you, Rich.
All right, good stuff. I'm Rick Tittle. We'll take a quick break and come on back on Sports Byline.